Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. How many know that it's normal to say hallelujah? Amen. To say praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. I used to think it was abnormal. Now I know it's normal, and I was living abnormally. You can't know what normal looks like until you see Jesus. Let's face it, all of us were born with some abnormalities, some problems, all right? It's called the sin nature. We are the Adamic nature we were born with. And so we want to be changed. We want to be transformed into the image of the Son of God. Amen, Jesus Christ. He's our model. He's the one that we want to be like when we grow up. How many say that? Lord, I want to be like you when I grow up. So grow me up, Lord. Grow me up. Hallelujah. Get me over me. Get me over my childish, selfish ways so I can walk in your ways. I can walk in your peace. You know, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. He totally has changed my life in so many ways. You know, we were talking at men's breakfast and Rajay was sharing a little bit just how, you know, he took an evaluation of his own heart and said, man, look what God has done. You know how, you know, we can change things externally. You know, we can turn over a new leaf, create a new habit or whatever, or stop doing something. But God is the one who can transform the inner man, amen, the heart. And you have to give God access. You have to let God have that part of you. Amen. You have to trust him. Trust Christ and let him do that work in your heart. And all of a sudden, the things that used to be abnormal to you are now normal. And those people that you didn't understand that were like so excited about Jesus, you know, those Jesus freak people, you know, now you're one of them. Now I get it. Hallelujah. And I don't apologize either. Hallelujah. I once was lost in sin until Jesus took me in. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. See, a lot of folks are just in the process of patching, and God doesn't want to just patch you. He wants to transform you. And we have to turn away from ourselves. We can't save ourselves. Only he can. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'll try harder to be good. How does that work for you? How long are you good? And how good is good enough? When do you arrive at good enough? Trying to be good. See, we all have our own standards, don't we? We have this thing called self-righteousness. Well, I'm righteous as long as I'm good as long as I. I'm going to know that your goodness is not of you. The goodness that God accepts is his goodness. The righteousness that God accepts is Christ. Amen? Christ in you is the hope of glory. So we're trusting in his grace, his mercy, not in ourselves to perform to some expectation that often we have placed upon ourselves that is impossible to achieve. You and I cannot live a holy life apart from him who is holy. He supplies the grace, doesn't he, by his Spirit to overcome every situation, every habit, everything that we don't like even about ourselves. You know, a lot of times because people really don't like what they see about themselves and they don't know how to deal with it, they just try to justify it then by saying, well, it's got to be a good thing then. Have anybody beside myself ever done that, tried to justify yourself? Because you really didn't like what was going on in your life. You really didn't like what you saw when you got a glimpse once in a while of yourself. But you didn't know how to deal with it or what to do with it, so you just tried to justify it. Or you hung out with people that were doing the same thing, so I could just feel better about what I'm doing because, well, everybody else is doing it too. You know, when I was doing the dope, I wanted to be around people doing dope. Because then I could somehow justify it in my own imagination anyways. Not before God. But I was trying to appease my conscience by trying to justify myself by, well, it's not that bad. So I do a little partying. So I get drunk once in a while. Well, once in a while turned into a lifestyle, didn't it? So we justify. But Jesus said that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. And we cannot justify ourselves. Jesus spoke to the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees. And he says, you are those who justify yourselves. But he says that it's an abomination before God. The only way you can be right, the only way I can be right, is through the grace of Jesus Christ. That's it, the grace of God. Amen. And when you lean on him and you receive from him that which you have need of, he supplies abundantly. He's an overflowing God. Amen. David said, my cup runneth over. God doesn't want us just to be a dab will do you Christian. He wants overflowing Christians. How many know that God is looking for more than just good church services? He's looking for good Christians who are the church. In every place that we are, we represent him. Hallelujah. God bless you, by the way, and thank you for coming today and joining with us. And we are a church that loves Jesus because he's the best thing that's ever happened to us. And I don't apologize for that. Come on, somebody. We have the answer. It's like people are out there in the ocean drowning and we've got the lifesaver. What are we doing with the lifesaver? Come on, we've got to throw that lifesaver out. Amen. Say, grab on to Jesus. Get a hold of Jesus. Call upon him. Draw near to him. He can save. He can heal. He can sanctify. He can deliver you. Set the captives free. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Last Wednesday, Ed was sharing on the topic of faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. And we can ask the question, well, what pleases God? And we can come up with all kinds of answers for that. Being good, being nice to people, you know, being good to my neighbor, going to church, praying, reading my Bible. You know, we can say all these things. And but the Bible says, faith is what pleases God. Now, faith produces good works. Amen? True faith produces works. But we are not to put the works before faith. Amen? Because sometimes we do things that are really not in faith. How many know that there are things that we can do in service for God that are actually not done in faith? Anything that requires, that doesn't require God, amen, and his ability or his grace is really not of faith. We can live a life based upon principles and simply walk out those principles by my own human effort and doing good things and being a good person and yet actually not be living or walking by faith. Walking by faith is walking with God. Living by faith is living in God. Living in Christ. And out of Christ flows good works. Out of Christ flows good fruit. Love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All the good fruits and graces and the gifts of his Spirit are all from Christ. As we abide in him, as we walk with him, as we are in communion with him in our spirit, as we are in fellowship with the Lord in our spirit, then out of our spirit will flow all the good things, amen, that people need as well. If we want to be effective in helping people, we cannot do it in our own ability, but it must be from the grace that God supplies, because it's only the Spirit of the Lord that produces life. Only the Holy Spirit, amen, imparts life. The letter of the law Simply living by commandments and principles, independent of God, actually destroys. But the Spirit gives life. So we are to be a living epistle. People are to look at our life and they are to see the reality of Jesus Christ living in us and living out of us. That's faith. Faith means I have to depend or trust in the ability that God alone supplies for me to overcome my flesh, this world, and the devil. It's not about me just being a hard worker and trying harder to be good. I must receive my goodness from Him who is good. Because the Bible says that there are none good. I know the popular thing today is to say that everybody's intrinsically good. Man is intrinsically good. There's no such thing, as some would say, as sin. What world are you living in? We see evil, don't we? We see the reality of the fallen world we live in and the reality that there is a hell and there's a devil. But we also see the goodness of God. We see the beauty of God. We see the glory of God. What are we looking for anyways? Well, we're looking for heaven. People are looking for heaven. People want to feel good. People want to be good. Most people, would you agree? Most normal people want to be good. Even the Apostle Paul, that once persecuted the church, thought he was doing a good thing by persecuting God's people. He had all kinds of zeal, even, to work hard, to round up Christians and consent even to their death, thinking all the time that he was doing God a favor because he didn't know Jesus. He lived by the letter of the law. And the law is perfect and it's holy. And God's commandments are perfect and holy. But we cannot live the commandment of God apart from Him who is that Word. Jesus is the Word of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We must have the Word in us, Jesus Christ, amen, in order to live a life that manifests the presence of God and bears fruit unto eternal life. It's not of me. Paul said, I find in me no good thing. In me I see no good thing. He realized that apart from the Lord, he was nothing. But he had to come to the revelation of who Jesus was on the road. Was it to Damascus? I was going to say Emmaus. Moses had Aaron, right? Yeah. And God got a hold of Saul of Tarsus, turned him into the Apostle Paul, amen? And all of a sudden, Paul had a new normal. He was changed. Something happened. How many here can say that something has definitely happened in my life? Jesus has happened in my life. I'm not trying to work to attain or to achieve righteousness. I'm a receptor. I'm a receiver of righteousness. I receive goodness because I receive Christ, who is my goodness. Otherwise, we can boast and we can compare ourselves to others and say, well, God, I thank you, like I'm not like other men. Instead, we just say, God, I realize without you, I'm nothing. I have no hope. I'll never be good enough. I'll never measure up in myself to what your expectation is. Your standard is perfection. Are there any perfect people in here this morning? I see that hand back. No, I don't actually. How many would agree with me this morning that we're all a work in progress? God has begun a good work. If Christ is in you, if you're born of the Spirit today and Christ is in you, you become a new creation. Amen. But then there's this working out of your salvation, and there's a sanctification process of God as refining and purifying and making a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. And the church of Jesus Christ is that bride. Would you say amen? So the just shall live by what? Faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And when Ed was talking last Wednesday, he stirred something up in me, and I just know that this is where we're going to go for a while. So, all right. And I think, and you also mentioned, Ed, about the fact that sometimes we listen to a message, you know, once, and then we go on, but we haven't really got the message yet. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need a repetition. Amen. How many have been reading your Bible? If you've been reading your Bible, you'll know that there's times when you read something and it doesn't really pop out, doesn't make any sense to you maybe, and you just, okay, I wonder what that was all about. It's a good thing to search out a matter, amen, to try to discover what that means if you don't understand something. But there's other times when you can just be reading something that you've read many times, and all of a sudden now you have an understanding of that. What just happened? Well, the teacher, the Holy Spirit, just brought it to your understanding. He just taught you. He revealed to you. You understand? This is the thing, is people think if I just go through a few more classes, get a few more CDs, get a few more conferences under my belt, then I'm going to be better off. But you cannot learn God in a classroom. God must be revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit and the Word must work together. Amen. To produce life in us. There are many believers in Christ, but few are consecrated to Him. And really, if you think about it, what does it mean to believe? And am I really a believer at all? Because if I claim to be a believer, that means I believe what God says. And if I believe what God says, then I will align with what God says. I will do what God says. I will obey what God says. If I'm a believer, it will produce an action. Faith requires an action. It's not enough just to say, "I agree, that was a good message, brother. Thanks for that message." Well, what are you doing with it? Are you walking it out? Are you walking by faith? Are you trusting God that that word that you heard will become a part of you? That you'll internalize that and it will actually change and transform you into the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. It will be a work of the heart that takes place that produces the fruit of God in your life. What is the nature of faith? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith has substance. And it has what? Evidence. Superstition is what we call blind faith. There was a band back in the 60s called Blind Faith. Amen. But our faith is a tangible faith. It is a living faith. Amen. It's not just a blind faith where we wander around in the darkness. Our faith is produced by the hearing of God's word. And we navigate by what God says, because we have faith in the heart to believe that God will do what He said He would do, because He's not a liar. And so the problem we have is often it's just our own unbelief and not really believing that God will do what He said He would do. I believe that we are to grow in faith by practicing faith. God gives us little tests along the way, little assignments along the way. Pray for this person. Talk to this person. Step out of your comfort zone. "Oh, I've never done that before, God." Well, God says, "I'll be with you in the place I told you to be. Just go where I tell you to go and I'll meet you there." Well, I'll believe it if I see it. And God says, no, you need to believe what I say before you're going to see it. What did Noah do? It says in Hebrews 11:7, he moved with godly fear. When he heard the word of God, he moved in faith. He took an action to build the ark. Moses, he forsook all that he had in all the glories of Egypt to associate himself with people who are in bondage and slavery because he saw something in the eternal. God revealed to him that that's where his inheritance was. That's where the blessing was on the Hebrew people. And so Moses, even though he had all the natural comforts of this world and all the wealth of Egypt at his disposal, he saw something greater in the will and plan and purpose of God, knowing that he was seeing beyond the temporal to the eternal. Isaac blessed his sons Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. It says, by faith, he blessed his sons. He laid his hands on, and by faith, that God would do what he declared over his sons, because God had given him as the patriarch or as the father, he gave him the authorization to impart a blessing upon his offspring. How many fathers here understand what I'm saying? That if you have children, God gives you, amen, that authorization to lay your right hand upon that child and invoke the blessing of God over that child. But you do it by faith. Faith is saying that I believe that I receive. Amen. Jesus said to Thomas, John 20, verse 27. How many know this about doubting Thomas? I wonder how many of us would have been the doubting Thomas. Oh, not me, oh great man of faith. You know, it's easy to criticize these guys, you know, but we weren't in their shoes, right? How about Peter? Oh, Peter didn't have any faith. Well, let me see you get out of the boat and walk on the water. At least he got out of the boat. At least he, right? He walked on the water for a while. He was practicing. Come on, we need some more practicers. Is that a word? It is now. Practicers. Practicers. Thomas, he said, put your finger here. Look at my hands. This is asked for his resurrection. Put your hand in the wound of my side and don't be faithless anymore. Believe. He says, my Lord and my God. Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. If I can touch, if I can feel, if I can see, then I'll believe. How many know that's not faith? Faith is hearing the voice of God and acting accordingly. An action must accompany faith, or it's not faith at all. Do we believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? Then we say, yes, then are we diligently seeking Him? Because if we say, I have faith that God is a rewarder, then it will also produce an action on my part, whereas I am actively seeking the Lord. Are you hearing me? You see, it's more than just acknowledging with my brain and my mind that, yeah, that's good. That's good theology. But our theology should have substance. It should have evidence. There should be the manifestation of the Word of God in the natural. What we want to see is the supernatural in the natural. The spiritual, amen, in the carnal. God says to pray for my kingdom to come and my will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So we want heaven to come down. Amen. And God to manifest himself in the seen world. But before we can see with our eyes, we must believe with our heart. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. That have not seen. What testimony do we have today? We have the testimony of the apostles. And we have the influences of the Spirit of God. Faith is of things not seen. All faith is of things not seen. All true faith is a confident assurance in that which is invisible. Amen. As a reality. Even a greater reality than what we're seeing in the natural. How many would agree with me today that there's room for growth in your faith? Okay, me too. So I want to grow. And I grow by practice, by experience, by putting my hand to the plow and not looking back, by joining Jesus, amen, in His mission, and going and walking with God and learning how to navigate by the Spirit of the Lord, hearing and waiting on the voice of God. Amen. And when God speaks and He gives me an assignment, that I'll be a faithful and wise servant that will respond promptly. Amen. In that time when He calls me to. Well, Lord, one of these days, let me first retire. Let me first go buy a house and, you know, buy a boat, buy that car I always wanted. And then once you get the boat and the house and the car you always wanted, then there's that thinner furniture you always wanted, and then there's this, and then there's that, and then there's this, and then there's that. And all of a sudden you're saying, man, where has my life gone? Where has the time gone? I've got all this stuff. But once again, there's no U-Hauls going to heaven. What are we going to show in light of eternity? What do we have? Well, our faith in God's promises is eternal. So if I have obeyed the voice of God by committing myself to follow Him, to do what He shows me to do, then that will endure forever. How many know the devil is good at distracting us? He wants to get us wrapped up in just the temporal, the easy life. This wide road is what Jesus called it. I mean, you know that most people follow crowds. Jesus didn't follow crowds. Jesus followed His Father. He obeyed His Father. Even many Christians will follow what other Christians do as long as other Christians are doing it. Oh, they're going to the altar now? Okay, I can go to the altar. Oh, you're going to study the Word? I can study the Word. How about a personal relationship with Jesus where we obey Him irregardless of what anybody else is doing? Do you understand? Crowds attract crowds. People attract people. Some churches, they get bigger because they have a group of people, and people attract people, and they can just get big and have a great big crowd. But how many disciples do we have? How many true followers of Jesus do we have? How many are really walking by faith, walking by the Spirit? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Faith is more than just acknowledging something to be true. Faith is me believing in my heart. And when I believe in my heart, it will produce an action in my life. If I believe that God will forgive me of my sins, as an act of faith, I come before Him and I say, Father, thank You for the cross. Thank You for the blood of Jesus. Thank You that there's mercy and forgiveness for me. And Lord, as an act of faith, I confess to You now my sin. And You said that You're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, thank You. I'm forgiven. I receive forgiveness. I didn't achieve it. I didn't earn it. I receive it because I believe God will do what He said He would do. And the devil wants to come back and say, oh, God didn't forgive you. That's when you have to resist him and say, but God said, if I confess. God says, if I forgive others, their sins against me, then he will also forgive me. If I really believe that, I have to forgive others before I can receive his forgiveness, then I will forgive others. Because I believe God. I'm acting in faith. You understand? There are people who are living in unforgiveness, who are trying to do all kinds of good deeds for God and be nice people, and, you know, but the problem is it's like they have this ball and chain that's just, they're dragging around with them everywhere. And I think that if I can just outdo the bad with the good, I'll feel better. Now somehow, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a scale. Right? You've heard that. Oh, if there's more in the good side, then I go to heaven. If there's more in the bad side, I go to hell. No, the problem is, if there's anything in the bad side, you go to hell. Are you hearing me? You must be forgiven. You must be cleansed. You must be sanctified. You must receive Jesus Christ as your righteousness. And that's the only way that you can be qualified to come before God with confident assurance that God hears your prayer, because you're no longer a slave to sin, but you're a son of God through the new birth in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. And if I blow it, I make a mistake, all I do is go to my Father and say, Father, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I don't know about you, but I got to do it on a daily basis. There's times I slip in my mind. Usually it's in my mind. The enemy will catch me off guard, and all of a sudden it's like, man, where'd that come from? I knew where it came from. You understand, you can't always control what thoughts enter into your head. The enemy's going to put them there. That's not the sin. The sin is when we start to entertain it. Isn't that true? Now, I'm starting to act upon what I'm thinking. And eventually it produces an action that produces death. So likewise, what I want to do is receive the Word of God, receive the truth, believe in my heart, and put it into practice. Be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Because we deceive ourselves otherwise. Now, let me just say this. The object of faith is not faith itself. The object of faith is God, right? Himself. And Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, God gives us means. God allows us to work with programs, music. You know, how many know that music is a good thing? I think it is anyways. I love music. And music is a tool. And music can be a real blessing in our lives. How many have been blessed by good music? Amen. How many have been blessed by good music in this church? I knew I could get it out of you. So I had to stroke that ego a little bit, except, yeah. Now watch next time I get up, right? Yeah. But, you know, we're very careful about this as a worship team. We're always like reminding each other, listen, we're not here to entertain, except one. I like to say it that way. We're before an audience of one, right? If we're up here and we're just like, we're here to bless the Lord. Let's face it, as believers, often we're just very selfish. All right, sometimes selfish. Oh, no, often selfish. Because what we do is, so often it's all about what I want and what I need. Think about it. True Christianity is not about just getting. It's all about giving. It's all about blessing. It's all about serving. It's about being selfless. It's about being like Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. How many here are serving the Lord? Living for God's plan for your life. Living for eternity. Storing up for yourself treasure in heaven. The enemy wants to distract. You got to be on alert. You got to be on guard against that. Even the good things that we enjoy can often become bad things. if they're choking us in our spiritual life. All right. Now, I want to just take a look at 2 Kings 3:15. This is Elisha. What I want us to focus on is the fact that God always requires an action on our part before there will be a fulfillment of what He promises. God always requires an action on our part before there will be a fulfillment of that which He promises us. Okay. Let's look at this. Chapter 3, verse 15. And now, here's Elisha calling for a musician or a minstrel. It happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. There is a connection between the prophetic and music. That's why music has to be, we have to be careful with music. I don't believe all music is good. Amen. Whatever we're doing needs to be sanctified to the Lord. Amen. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. There was a drought. And God says, through the prophet Elisha, make this valley full of ditches. What God is saying is, you and I must first dig the ditch before the waters will come. If we want to see heaven come down, the glory of God come down, we have to do some digging in the Spirit. We have to do some praise, amen? Some worship, some obedience. We have to act and walk by faith that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Anybody can do a sing-along. Just mouthing this stuff is funny. Sometimes I look out, and I'm not talking about anybody this morning, of course, but I try not to look too much out at what's going on here because sometimes it can distract me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done music or anything and you're looking at your audience like, man, they're not connected. It can mess with you. So I said, Lord said, just worship me. All right, let me handle the rest of the stuff going on, okay? But it's funny, sometimes I'll look out because I just want to see who's here and kind of, you know, the Lord will speak to me sometimes about who's here and what's going on and show me some things. And so I'll look out and then somebody will, they weren't engaged, they weren't singing, they weren't doing anything. But they'll notice that I'm looking at them, and all of a sudden they'll start going. How many have seen that before? I'm not picking on anybody here this morning, but just, you know. Who are we here for, right? This is about Jesus this morning. Where's our heart at? Where's our mind at? You know, a wise man once said, wherever you find yourself, be there. Wherever you find yourself, be there. If we're here to worship, let's worship together. If we're here to seek the Lord, let's seek the Lord together. If we're here to be taught, let's listen together. Amen? Let's share together. But we don't do it to please people. Whatever we're doing in word or deed, we do for the glory of God. We do it as unto the Lord. Amen. It's an act of worship. God knows in secret. Doesn't mean I have to be a puppet and, you know, or a clone of everybody around me. I'm an individual. I have maybe a different expression of my worship to God than somebody else does. That's okay. Not everybody's going to be as demonstrative. Some people are even more demonstrative than I am. You know, that's why we put these chandeliers up as high as we have. But, you know, I don't want to ever criticize somebody, you know, for how they worship God. But what I do want to see is that people do have a heart that is diligently seeking Him. Not looking to man, not looking to me, but looking to Jesus. and listening for the voice of Jesus through this servant. Are you hearing me? God speaks through his people, doesn't he? He's speaking to you this morning. If we don't listen, then we're not living in faith. If we're not doers of the word, we're not in faith. Faith, true faith, has works. There's evidence. There's substance to faith. A changed heart is evidence of faith. Hallelujah. If you believe God and you believe that he is a rewarder, then you will diligently seek him. Oh, I remember I use this a lot, but it's like that old show. What was that show where they had the three doors? What's behind door number 1, 2, and 3? Or Truth and Consequences or one of the, I don't know. Let's make it. No. It was like the doors that would open up. And maybe it was, let's make a deal. Yeah. But you know, you're always wondering what was behind that door. The number 1 or 2 or 3. And what a surprise when you got the right door, right? Oh, wow, check it out, a new car. You know? But God is allowing us access, hear me, to his throne. To all the glories of the treasures of heaven being made available to his children. If we are heirs of God, then everything belongs to us already. If I'm a joint heir with Jesus, then that means that all that Jesus has already belongs to me. Not everything that Jesus has will be manifested in my life. But nonetheless, as heirs, as family, as members of that same kingdom, all that Jesus did for us in purchasing our salvation and going before us is ours. Amen. We have a divine heavenly bank account, and God is saying it's time for you to make a withdrawal. You understand? There are people that are not making withdrawals. They're living in a poverty mentality. Spiritual poverty. God prepares a banquet before us. Even a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he says, come into my presence. Dine. Delight yourself in me. Feed your soul with that which truly satisfies. And God says, I've given you access through the blood of the new covenant for you to come and receive all that you had need of and then some, so that you're an overflowing cup in this world. Not just a barely making it, barely surviving. If we would diligently seek the Lord, he rewards those that diligently seek him. So if we are really living by faith, walking by faith, then we are pursuers of God's presence. We're hungry. We're thirsty for him. Because I've tasted and I've seen the Lord is good and I want more. See, the enemy has got us sometimes bogged down in the drought. And God told through the prophet, he told them to dig the ditches. And he says, you're not going to see rain. You're not going to hear. Right? You're not going to see wind, excuse me, but you're not going to see rain either. Yet that valley shall be filled with water. A lot of times when we come to God, we come with an expectation that God's supposed to do things a certain way. God says, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened unto you. There's levels of seeking and pursuing. Amen? He says, if you ask. But the thing is we're asking and we're expecting God to do things a certain way that we expect him to do it. And when he doesn't do it the way we expect him to do it, sometimes we get upset with God. Or God didn't do it in the time table that we had for it, right? How many ever said, God, where are you? God, why do I have to wait so long? because God is perfect and he knows what's best and his timing is always best. And if you've had to wait for something, there's a good reason for it. It may be that you're not ready for it. And also, God will enhance the blessing when you've had to wait for it. It's always better when you've had to wait for something. So he said, you dig these ditches. You're not going to see the rain, but you dig those ditches in faith. Make this valley full of ditches. You're not going to see any wind or rain. Yet this valley shall be filled. And you, your cattle, your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites, your enemies, into your hands. How many have enemies? If you are a Christian today, you have enemies. If you're following Jesus today, you have enemies. Give it a little time. Now, hopefully it's not an enemy that I created. Amen. Because of my own stupidity. But if you're following Jesus, if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. That's usually through certainly spiritual enemies, but God, amen, allows this sometimes. But these spiritual enemies work through people. He gets into these people and they do stuff against us. Well, it's not the flesh and blood we're wrestling against, amen, these principalities and powers. It's the spirits behind these people. We have to separate the two. God wants these people to be saved. And Jesus hung on that cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't realize what they're doing. If they did, they wouldn't do it. He says, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city. You shall cut down every good tree, stop up every spring of water, ruin every good piece of land with stones. God says, you're going to have to stop this enemy because they're defiling the land. You're going to have to put a complete clean stop to it. What does that mean? God is saying that it's more than just believing that I will do what I said I would do. I'm calling you. I'm going to use you to do my will here on the earth. God always chooses human beings throughout history, amen, to do his work here in the earth realm. Because of the nature of things, the way that he set things in order from the very beginning, where he gave God, mankind dominion. So God works through mankind to accomplish his purposes. But in order for the miracle to come, in order for the provision to come, in order for the blessing to come, in order for the deliverance to come, there has to be an action. We have to prepare the way for the Lord. We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We need a ditch, amen, in our own hearts. We need an open heart that is hungry and wanting to be filled, because we're not filling ourselves up on lesser things that would choke out that capacity for more of him. People that really manifest the fragrance of Christ are people that are not filled with the things of this world, but they are impoverished. They are what Jesus called the poor in spirit. They have a spiritual poverty mentality that says, I need to be filled. I need to receive from God. I need grace. I need mercy. I need his power in my life. I can't do what God has called me to do independent of him. I cannot walk with God, amen, unless I'm trusting him. If I'm trusting in him, then I will do what God says. And when I obey what God says, God manifests himself in my life. If I dig the ditch, I prepare the way for the Lord. Amen. I get rid of the garbage in my heart. Amen. I take that before the throne. I lay it on the altar. I confess and renounce Satan. I confess and renounce this world. Amen. That's coming to nothing. It is a sinking ship. You got to get off the sinking ship. Amen. And get into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And pursue the things that are above where Christ is. Do you have a hungry heart? The low places God will fill. The river of God doesn't flow in the mountains in the pride, amen, but in the humility of heart, where there's a people that say, I need God's grace.
Lord, I need you to show up. Lord, I need you to give me the words to speak. Amen. Lord, I need you to give me what I need to do, what you've called me to do, because what you've called me to do is beyond anything I can do naturally, because we've been called to walk by faith, confidence in the ability of God to do the supernatural in the natural. He's a supernatural God. God wants to heal the sick. God wants to deliver the captives. God wants to save the lost. Amen? That is a supernatural work, and it requires a supernatural God to intervene. And if we don't pray, and we don't call upon Him, and we don't depend upon Him, that's just not going to happen. Because God gave you and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, the responsibility, amen, to be His hands and His feet, to be His ambassadors, His representatives. And so we've got to be a people that are calling on the name of the Lord, amen, and allowing God to do a work through our lives, as well as in our lives. And I'm going to finish with one more. The foundation of everything in our lives, in our Christian walk, is the Word of God. It's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. I must conform to the Word of God. I must conform to Jesus Christ. Amen? He's not going to conform to me. A lot of people fashion their own God. Well, my Jesus is like this. Your Jesus might be like that. We are to conform to the image of the true Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Amen. That's the Jesus that I want, because that's the true Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. If you want to be saved, you must come by way of Jesus Christ. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Allah, none of these others are saviors. Amen. Only Jesus Christ is that door. He is the way. Why? Because He is the Word of God. He is the Son of God. He is the only way to the Father. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became a man. And God went to the cross, amen, on our behalf, paid the price for our sins. Hallelujah. And Jesus received all that punishment for you and I so we could go free. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing love? Isn't that amazing grace? God wants to forgive you. That means He wants to blot out. He wants to remove. I mean, all the sin, all the stains, all the regrets, all the things that we've done that we're ashamed of, and sometimes the things that plague us, and those things that eat at your conscience and bother you. And some people can't even sleep at night because their conscience bothers them so much. Jesus came to set you free from that. Jesus came to deliver you from that sin. Amen? He came to apply His blood upon even that conscience that has been tainted, amen, by sin. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. Oh, that's narrow-minded bigotry. Jesus says, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go therein. Most people are not going to heaven, folks, I'm sorry to say. Does God want anybody to go to hell? No. But unless they come by way of Jesus Christ through the cross, there is no salvation. And there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you don't turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him, there's no hope. You've got to get off the sinking ship called this world. Because Jesus Christ is coming. This time, He's not coming to be crucified, to be mocked and scorned and put on a cross. This time, He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will rule and reign over all the earth. Today is the day of salvation. Would you bow your heads? Do you have faith in God today? Just bow your heads, would you please? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the sons of God? Do you believe that all things are possible to them that believe? Do you believe that Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundantly? Do you believe that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost? If you're here today and you want to be saved from the wrath of God, from the things that are coming, and you want to get right with God today, we don't know how much time we have left, whether we have another day, whether there will be a tomorrow. But today God gives you opportunity to respond to His voice. If you hear His voice, then open the door and let Him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, can you hear His voice today? Has God spoken to you today? Has God revealed to you your lost condition? Has God revealed to you your need of His mercy today? You can't save yourself. Your own goodness will never qualify you for heaven. Only Jesus qualifies you. And Jesus wants to save you, but you've got to come to Him on His terms. You've got to come to Him today with a repentant heart and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned against You and against heaven. And I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. I want that slate clean. I want that debt that I owe You, that debt of sin, canceled out. God wants to cancel that debt of sin in your life. He went to the cross so you could be free. If you're here today and you say, I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I want to be saved. I want to get my heart right with Jesus today. I want you to do something very bold, and I want you just to stand up. Just be bold and stand up and say, I acknowledge, and I'm not ashamed to say even before man today, that I'm not ready. But Jesus said, if you confess Me before men, I'll confess you before My Father. You want your name confessed before the Father in heaven? Then I want you to do something bold. If you're not saved today, just stand up. Stand up for Jesus right now. Do it in the sight of God, not the sight of man. It's not about man today. It's between you and the Lord. Just stand up if that's you. You're not saved. You want to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're backslidden. You haven't been living right. You haven't been living for God. You really haven't been walking by faith. You've been entangled in the things of this world. They've been choking you. And your life has been fruitless. And you want to be restored. And you want to bear fruit again. And you want to reconnect with the Lord today. If that's you, I want you to stand right now. We want to pray for you. Everybody here. Anybody here. That means everybody here is right with God, right? If you're not right with God, you need to stand right now. If you stand up for Him, He'll stand up for you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. There's coming a day when we will see Jesus Christ. Every one of us in this room. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your heart right with God. I want to encourage you. Make that decision for Jesus. Amen. And never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Confess Him before men. Amen. And He'll confess you before the Father. Because He says, if you deny Me before men, I'll also deny you before My Father and the holy angels. And I don't want to be denied. I delight in sharing Jesus. I delight in telling others about Jesus. How about you?